Hi, this is Pastor Steve Gascon from Arrow Lakes Alliance Church. I want to thank you and welcome you as you listen to this recording of a sermon from a series in Ephesians called God's New Community. I pray that it will bless you and edify you, and it will glorify God as you listen. God bless you. Hey, good morning, and or maybe afternoon, or maybe evening, depending on when you're watching it. But hello, and welcome. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, I want to welcome you here with me. I thank you so much for joining me as we come together to seek God, to build our faith in Him, and to pour out our worship to Him, because He is worthy, and He is good. And so I just want to welcome you. I'm so grateful that you take part in these, that you watch these, that you give me your feedback on these, and I pray that they're edifying and they're glorifying to God, edifying to you and glorifying to God. And so this morning we're kind of just going to jump right into it. All the announcements that you would need are either on the website or in the weekly email. If you're not getting the weekly email and you want to get the weekly email to find out what's going on at the church, when we're thinking of meeting again, things like that, get in touch with me. Let me know, and I would love to put your name on that list. And if there's anything that I can pray for, I would love to pray for you as well. So, just go ahead and do that. Now, we are here this morning to worship our God and our King. We are here to worship our Lord and our Savior. So let's just take a second just to prepare our hearts and minds to do that. Let's pray. Let's pray and let's go before the Lord together. Dear Lord, the words of that song are beautiful. Show me who you are. Lead me in your love. Bring me to share that love to those around me. God, I pray that you would work mightily in us. God, that you would open up our eyes to the wonder that it is to be saved by you. The wonder that it is to follow you. The wonder that it is to be known by you, Lord. Lord, open up our eyes to that. Open up our eyes and let us see your greatness, your power, your hope, and your riches. Lord, we are amazed by you. We are amazed by what you've made. We are amazed by what you have done. We are amazed by what you are doing now in us and through us. We're amazed by your love for us. Father God, we bring our requests before you because we know that you hear them. The words of the psalm, you know our requests before they're even on our tongues, and yet you gather us in that we may have an audience with you, the Lord of the universe, the Lord of all creation, as we speak to you. Oh Lord, what an awesome privilege it is. And so God, we bring before you our church. I bring before you all those who are watching this, all those who are listening. I pray that you would bless them in a mighty way. That you would give them the spirit of wisdom and revelation, that they may know you more. That you may enlighten the eyes of their heart, that they may know the hope that you have called them to. They may know the riches of your glory. They may know the power that is within them. That they may follow Jesus closer and closer. Lord, I pray for our village. And Lord, not just for our village, but for the whole valley. And I ask, God, that you would work in the hearts of our neighbors. That you would soften their hearts. You would give us opportunity to share the gospel and spread the good news with them. Lord, you would set it firmly in our hearts that this really is good news. Lord, life is hard. We know that life is hard. And yet, because Jesus lives, it makes it worth living. That we can find joy, that we can find peace, that we can find wholeness in you. Lord, we pray for an end to the pandemic. I pray that you would protect us and protect all those around the world. God, and I pray that you would use the opening and the memory of this for your glory. Father, I ask for grace and peace as things open up. Grace and peace for each other as we have different ideas and differing thoughts about what we should be doing and what we shouldn't be doing. And so I just pray for unity for us. And Lord, we come before you and we ask you that as we look at your word, that you would illuminate our hearts. You would open our eyes to what it says. You would apply it to our hearts. Use it to convict our minds. Use it to sanctify us and cleanse us. And use it to glorify yourself. We pray all these names, all these things in the mighty name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We're going to read from the book of Ephesians, chapter 1, starting at verse 15, and we're going to go down to verse 23. So Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15 to 23. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms. Far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. This is the word of God. Our message today is titled, In Order That You May Know. In Order That You May Know. As I was putting together this message, this one question came to mind. Why do we preach? Why every Sunday do we come together to hear a message out of the scriptures? Why? Because over the last 2,000 years or so, surely every sermon has been preached, every passage spoken on, every thought explored. So why do we continue doing it? Why do I and other pastors take hours and hours of our week to study, prepare, and preach a sermon each week? Well, it's not just because we're starved for entertainment. There's more than enough to entertain us. And in fact, there's more than enough to entertain us. And in fact, what we do is we intentionally set aside this time. We intentionally set aside time where we stop our entertainment. And we come together to seek God in this way. Well, there are a couple answers to this question in the scriptures. One is found in Romans 10, 13 to 15. It says this, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anybody preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. So there are two reasons in there. First and foremost, why we preach is so people will hear and they will believe and they will call on the name of the Lord and they will be saved. And secondly, we preach because we've been sent to preach. We've been called to preach. We've been given the commission to preach. In Timothy, it says, preach the word in season and out of season. But what about when we're talking about Christians who have already heard and already believed and already called on the name of the Lord and are already saved? Surely there must be another reason to preach and another reason to listen to preaching. Well, another reason is provided for us in the section we read today. It is for this reason, found at the end of verse 17 in this prayer of thanksgiving, that we preach and we listen. For this reason, that we may know Christ better. God has ordained that the way we know him better is through the preaching of the written word. God speaks to us today through his word as we read it, as we study it, and as we hear it preached. I often think we don't understand the full supernatural impact of that. When you read the Bible, that is the word of God. The sure word that we can be confident is true. The book of Ephesians is really about God creating a new community of believers with new boundary markers of who is in this new community and how the members of this new community will live. And one of the marks of this new community is that God's people are continually growing in knowing him better. And so let me ask you, are you growing in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Do you desire to grow in that knowledge? Do you desire to know him better? And in knowing him better, to be more conformed to his likeness, to know Christ and to be more like Christ? I have to think if you're listening to this, if you're watching this today, then the answer for you is yes. But you might be thinking, I'm just trying to keep my head above water. With all the chaos in the world right now, with all the stress in my life right now, I am just trying to keep my head above water. I don't have the time or the energy to grow in that way. But I think this is exactly the issue that many of us have. That instead of looking to Christ and striving to know him better, we want solutions to be able to handle our lives better. We want specific solutions. How do I handle this part of my life better? How do I deal with stress better? And what we don't realize is that the solution we are looking for is Jesus. It's coming to Jesus. It's coming to him and knowing him better that equips us to handle life. Paul's prayer for the Ephesians and his prayer for us and my prayer for us is that we would know Jesus better. And so we would know the hope, and we would know the riches, and we would know the power he has given us. And then be able to rightly order our lives so that when we face the struggles, and when we feel like we're drowning, that we know that we have a sure anchor for our souls. We know that we have a solid rock upon which to stand, not as a last resort, but as a first refuge. And so in verse 16, Paul says that he has not stopped giving thanks for the readers of this letter and remembering them in his prayers. But what is he giving thanks for? He's giving thanks for two things. These two things which Martin Lloyd-Jones calls the acid test of being a Christian. These two things which are the attributes of those who are part of this new community of God. These two things are faith in the Lord Jesus and love for all of God's people. See, Paul's not thanking them that they're putting on the best programs. He's not thanking them that they have the best worship experiences or growing the church or having all kinds of charismatic manifestations or that they have found their purpose or that they have resurrected their dreams. He's not thanking God that they are living their true selves or that they have high self-esteem or that they're living out their Enneagram number or they have self-actualized or anything else much of the modern church in the world seems to think is important. He is thanking God for the two things which are actually important. Faith in Jesus and loving the saints. Loving God and loving our neighbors. How much simpler would our lives be? How much simpler would our spiritual lives be if this is what we focused on? If this is what we focused to bring to our spiritual life, if this is what we focused to grow in our life? Faith in Jesus and loving the saints. You know, it doesn't matter how good our production is on a Sunday. It doesn't matter if we have a great smoke machine. It doesn't matter if we have the greatest band in the world. It doesn't matter if we have all these things. If we don't have faith in Jesus and we don't have love for the saints, then it's just entertainment. He thanks God for their faith in the Lord Jesus. This is the basic attribute of those who are Christians. It's not just a professed faith in God. That's far too broad. Muslims profess a faith in God. Sikhs, Hindus, New Agers profess a faith in God. Many who would call themselves unreligious still profess a faith in God. No, this is a faith in the Lord Jesus, the one revealed in the pages of Scripture, who is God incarnate, who was born of a virgin, who walked the earth and was crucified for our sins, who rose again and ascended to heaven, and who now sits at the right hand of the Father, interceding for us. Glory be to his name. The mark of a Christian, the first mark of a Christian, is faith in the Lord Jesus. And you might think, and I think I've said this before, but you might think, well, that's obvious. Well, it should be obvious. But so often in our world, we look at people, oh, he's a good person. Oh, you know, he does good things. Oh, she's very nice. She does good deeds. They must be a Christian. There's amazing people in this world. People who love, people who do amazingly good things, who do not have faith in the Lord Jesus. And just like our good works don't save us, neither does anybody else's good works make them a Christian. It is faith in the Lord Jesus that brings us into the community of God. So first, he thanks them for faith in the Lord Jesus. And secondly, he thanks them for love for all the saints. And it is these two things that mark a Christian. Jesus says that the world will know us by our love for one another. We are brought into the community of God by faith in Jesus Christ. And then we live out that faith in Jesus Christ as loving for all of God's people by loving the saints. This is what Paul thanks God for. Their faith in Jesus and their love for each other. It says he has heard about both those things. Ever since I heard about your faith and your love for one another, I have not stopped thanking God for it. He has heard about both these things, which means they're active, they're noticeable. People can confidently talk about the faith and the love that they have. And I read that this week and I thought, oh God, let us be these people. Let us be these people with faith in the Lord Jesus and people with love for all of God's people. And let us live those out in such a degree that others will see and others will thank God for it. Let that be us. Let that be me. So Paul gives thanks for their lives. Thanks that God has saved them, brought them into the family. Thanks that they now love the family of God. And then he tells them what he asked for God in regards to them. What he keeps asking continually, again and again, for one main thing. And again, notice what he doesn't pray for. He speaks nothing of their physical blessings. He doesn't pray for their happiness. He doesn't pray for their weight loss. He doesn't pray for their vacation. Those might be all good things to pray for. But Paul has a pastoral focus in this letter. He wants to see people come closer to Christ above all else. And so he prays to that end. He prays that God may give them the spirit of wisdom and revelation. But there's a bit of a tension here. Because Paul is praying for believers, isn't he? And don't believers already have the Holy Spirit? Didn't Paul say that you were sealed by a deposit, the blessed Holy Spirit? He did, and we are. As Christians, we have the Holy Spirit. Every Christian has the Holy Spirit in its fullness. And so what he is praying for is a continued growth in wisdom and a continued growth in revelation, a continued filling of the Spirit, that these people, that the original readers in Galatia, and that we may know Christ better. This is the key to this section, and really the key to all preaching, as I have said before. And so he prays that the eyes of our heart, the eyes of your heart, may be enlightened. And this is a really odd thing to say if we take it in a literal way. Because there are no eyes in my heart. And even if there were eyes in my heart, they would be of no use to me being inside my chest and all that. But we understand that he's using a figure of speech. And the figure of speech in biblical usage is the heart refers to the whole inward self, comprising both mind and emotion. Dane Ortlund says that the heart in the Bible is the center of who we are. It's what defines and directs us. I've always thought about this in terms of the song we sang. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. I want to see you. But interestingly, the Bible doesn't say, open the eyes of my heart. And I looked at a number of different translations to see if any translations really said, open the eyes of my heart. And I couldn't find any of them that did. What every one of them said was, enlighten the eyes of my heart. You may think, well, that's not a big difference. And honestly, it's not a big difference. But it is a difference. Because the Bible says to enlighten the eyes of my heart. To bring light to them. In a Christian's life, they have already been opened up. The eyes of our heart, the eyes of our being, that we may see. Once I was blind, but now I see. Our eyes have already been opened up. And so Paul prays that these open eyes would be increasingly illuminated, increasingly flooded with light. And intriguingly, he says, don't open their eyes of their heart so they can see. Which you would think, if you want our eyes opened or eyes enlightened, that we would be able to see. But intriguingly, he says, enlighten the eyes of their heart so that you may know. So that you may know. And this is so important. And this is the core of Paul's message, that we may know. If you are someone who takes notes, if you're someone who highlights or underlines in their Bible, this is the key point to highlight and underline. That you may know. The work of the Spirit illuminates the eyes of our hearts so that we may know Jesus in deeper and deeper ways. And this knowing goes beyond just knowledge and understanding. It's not just a nominal knowledge of some truth. But it's an intimate knowing, a personal knowing, a specific knowing. Not just knowing some facts, like the way we know facts about Sir John A. Macdonald, or the way we know facts about Julius Caesar. Or the way we know some facts about our distant cousin who we maybe seen once in a decade and we've seen a picture of them once. It is a knowing that's beyond that. It is like knowing your spouse, your children, your closest friend. This deep type of knowing that transforms us, that connects us in our inner being. It's this type of knowing that causes Paul in his letter to the Philippians to consider all his human achievements garbage or dung. He says that he considers all those things lost compared to the surpassing worth of knowing Jesus Christ his Lord. And it's this type of knowing that Paul desires us to have. And it's this type of knowing that we can have through the Spirit who enlightens the eyes of our heart through wisdom and revelation. That we may know Jesus Christ. And that we may know his blessing in ever-increasing ways. And then to that end, Paul tells us of three of the blessings that we might know. In order that we might know the hope to which he has called us. And what hope is this? Is this the hope of a best life now? Or the hope of health, wealth, and happiness? The hope of the American dream? Does he call us to the hope of a life with no pain, no tears, and no sorrow? No, he doesn't. He calls us to a better hope than that. He calls us to a hope which we can be sure of, a hope that is not dependent on circumstances. But how can we be sure of a hope? Well, the hope of God is not like a wish. I hope that I win the lottery. I hope that I find a house. I hope that I don't get sick. It's not like that, but it's a sure hope. It is confidence in something that we already possess. This glorious hope of heaven that God has called us to. This amazing hope in God that we have. And friends, one of the great tragedies of our modern world is the reverse of this. There's so many who struggle with hopelessness. Often we hear a lot about loneliness, and loneliness is a massive issue. In our culture, it's a big issue. Even in our connected culture, loneliness is a big issue. But the other thing that goes usually hand in hand with loneliness is hopelessness. There's so many who struggle with hopelessness. And they need to hear the truth of the gospel. They need to hear the love of God through Christ, who calls them to a sure hope, and the one who fills our hopeless hearts with a sure hope. Secondly, he says that in order we might know the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people. And so what are these riches? There are a few other places in the scripture where it talks about the riches of God. We're told he pours out on us the riches of his kindness, of his forbearance, and of his grace, which are intended to lead us to repentance. That he makes the riches of his glory known to us. That being brought into God's family means riches for us. It speaks of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God, the riches of his grace, the boundless riches of Christ, the riches of Christ in you, the hope of glory, and the full riches of complete understanding. And the Bible speaks of these riches as greater value than gold, greater even than all the treasures of Egypt, and that these riches which are stored up for you in heaven that will not rot and will not decay and yet can be experienced and known even now. Last week we talked about that we have every spiritual blessing in Christ. And that's true. We do have every spiritual blessing in Christ. And in that, we have all these riches that God pours out on us. Thirdly, that we might know his incomparably great power for those who believe. The same power that raised Christ from the dead is at work within us. That same power that took our heart of stone and replaced it with a heart of flesh. That power that fills us and allows us to live holy lives and to say no to unrighteousness. The power that saved me and the power that saved you and the power that is powerful enough to save any sinner. And so lean into this power. Trust in this power, in these riches, in this hope. Not in your own power, not in your own riches, not in your own selfish hopes. Started off this section, Paul thanking God for their faith in the Lord Jesus. Don't put your faith in yourself, but trust in Jesus. Because as Christians in this new community who know Christ more and more, who have faith in him and love for his people, we have these things. We possess these things in the Spirit. God's riches are given to us, his children, the new community of God. And this new community has a king, Jesus Christ, who Paul finishes his prayer exalting, who's been raised from the dead, is seated in the heavenly realms, is far above all rule and power and authority and dominion, who has a name above every name on earth or in heaven, who has all things under his feet and his head above all things for the church. And if we kind of zoom out here and we kind of wrap this up by taking a wider look at our passage, we really see the rhythm of Christian prayer and really the rhythm of Christian life. It starts with thanksgiving for the gifts of God. Continues with asking for a greater trust and a greater understanding in Christ and his blessings. And it ends with worshiping and exalting Jesus. And well, you can see that the rhythm of prayer, I also see in there the rhythm of our Christian life. We're saved gloriously, amazingly, from his grace, we are saved. And we thank God for the gifts that he has given us. And then we embark on this journey of building a greater trust and a greater faith and a greater understanding and experiencing more of his blessings. And then we finish our life when we come to the end of our life and we walk into the new life. We worship God for all of eternity. We exalt Jesus. We see him face to face, our Lord and our Savior, who loved us even to the point that he would die for us. And so, friends, this is why we preach. This is why we listen to preaching, that we might know him better. And by knowing him better, that you might know the hope, the riches, and the power, that you might live in this new community of God with greater strength and assurance, with great faith in the Lord Jesus and great love for all God's people. May he enlighten the eyes of your heart so that you might know him better. May that be true for each and every one of us, to the glory of our great God. Amen. Well, let's finish our time together by singing, I Want to Know You More.